You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien.
It was the week before free agency, and all was quiet.
Scratch that, King! Kyrie's making lifts and he's checking it twice!
I feel bad for your neighbors.
Okay, intro's over. Let me step out of the closet. We'll talk about that later. That's later, Kay. Okay, scratch our topics. I'm coming out hot this week. I'm coming out hot!
Okay, all right, go for it. Extra hyped.
You messaged me very excited this morning.
more importantly, I thought this would be your time to shine because this is something you've been clamoring about. Like, Kyrie can't be trusted. Kyrie's toxic. Kyrie is a cancer to the locker room. All these things seem to have come true. He's backstabbed his best friend, KD, even though in his end of season press conference, he's like, oh no, I can't leave. I can't leave seven, referring to KD, Kevin Durant, best player in the world when healthy. But this is what he's doing. He's apparently used the word acrimonious, meaning the negotiations between himself and the front office with the Nets it's been bad. It's been boiling over. It's been angry. It hasn't worked out smoothly. And what I've heard is Kyrie wants a max. Kyrie wants a 5-year max, which only the Nets can offer, which even to me as a more, I would say, slightly biased believer in Kyrie, even I think that's maybe a little smidge too much commitment to this transcendent superstar. But other notions of other contracts, which apparently the Nets have given quite generous offers, have been shut down. So it's like Kyrie's like, give me a 5-year max or I'm walking. And he's using KD's commitment to the team if Kyrie leaves as leverage to say like, hey, if I leave, KD will leave. So just give me what I want. Just give me the max and everyone will be happy except you.
Low blow.
I mean, this is your time to shine. Isn't this your time to say, I told you so?
Look, Kade. You're going to have to walk me through this. You got to hold my hands.
That's quite a lot.
Walk me through this because you're a diehard Nets fan, okay? And once again, the Nets are in the spotlight. Now, you've been visualizing this moment for a long time. So help me visualize. Let's transport ourselves to Brooklyn. It's the Barclays Center. Joe Tsai's office.
Right now. Why Joe Tsai's office? Why not Sean Mark's office?
Joe Tsai probably has a better office, better views.
Yeah, it's overlooking concentration camps.
Okay. I'm just going to ignore you. I'm just going to ignore you when you disrespect Joe Tsai like this, okay?
All right, stay on track.
I'm imagining this office is phenomenal.
Yeah, all glass.
Overlooking Manhattan, okay? Across the bay. Large table in the middle. And there we find the circle of power. Circle of power. Yeah. Joe Tsai.
I can see it right now.
Kyrie Irving. Sean Marks.
Yeah.
How about Steve Nash? In the hallways.
Steve Nash has a cloth over his arm. And he's got a tray in the other hand.
Okay, so we're letting him in the room.
We're letting him in the room. He's in the room.
Okay, he's in the room, but he's in a separate table. He's on a separate table, right? Like a kiddie table off the side.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Per Kyrie's request.
Okay, so circle of power. We've got Joe Tsai, Kyrie on the left, Sean Marks on his right.
Kyrie's agent, his stepmom.
His stepmom, maybe also in the room. Steve Nash in the corner there.
Yeah.
What does Joe Tsai say? How does he broach this subject?
Okay, Kyrie, what is it that you want?
Joe, before we start this meeting, I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land in which we meet today. I would like to pay my respects to the elders past and present.
God damn it.
I am. And when I say I mean the EYE.
Do you know what we do to... I'll tell you what we do to traditional owners in the
Okay.
I don't give a shit about your traditional owners.
Okay, I see this meeting is getting off to a rough start. Okay.
What do you want? Well, we're just acrimonious, so I'm playing to that.
Do Sean Marks. What does Sean Marks
want? What do you want? What do you want? Yeah, Sean Marks. Sean Marks is like, okay. Sean Marks is more the good cop. Sean Marks is like, all right, let's settle down a little bit, okay?
Put on that thick Aussie accent. Come on, you can do it.
Let's talk. I mean, he's not Aussie, but...
Close enough.
Let's talk it out, guys.
Joe, love these habit views.
Kyrie, you start. Kyrie, tell us, what are your terms, Kyrie? Come on. We want to work with you. We want to make this work. We want you to stay in Brooklyn. Come on.
Kyrie says...
You are Kyrie.
I'm Kyrie.
You are speaking third person.
Joe, I appreciate you taking the time to set up this meeting. Now, I would feel most comfortable if I could do this meeting in the Lakota language.
Okay, so this is why the deal's not done yet. Because anytime Sean or Joe try to bring up numbers, he's like deflecting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kate.
No, let's be real. Let's be real. Let's drop
you
this.
Speak Cantonese. Well, this is why it's taking so long. Josiah is probably yelling at Kyrie in Cantonese, and Kyrie's like,
"Well, he's probably speaks Mandarin."
Give me some Cantonese. Come on, what does Josiah say? Give me some of that Cantonese.
Josiah speaks Taiwanese.
Yeah, Mo Nai Dai, Mo Nai Dai.
Kyrie speaks Mamba.
Mamba. Okay, whatever. Oh my god, okay, let's jump out of this. It's a disaster, Kay. Everything that could have gone wrong with this Nets free agency has gone wrong. Now, if we backtrack to the end of the season, what did we have? We first knew something was amok when Kyrie had his postseason presser. And in there, he managed that he will be, along with the management team, together making decisions about the roster this offseason. And he specifically put himself and KD in that group with Josiah and Sean Marks, excluding Steve Nash. That's the first thing that went wrong. The second thing that went wrong was in Sean Marks' postseason wrap-up, he explicitly called out on the need for players who want to be with the franchise, who wants to play for something bigger than themselves. And now we're learning this week that Kyrie has given the Nets a list of destinations if they do not give them a long-term contract. And by the way, this list includes the Sixers. Does he know that James Harden... The only time that James Harden ran on the court was away from Kyrie, okay? He ran all the way to Philadelphia.
I think the trade is going to be James Harden for Kyrie Irving straight up.
All this to say now we're... at an impasse, and in the next couple of days, I think we're going to get word and we'll finally know what happens to Kyrie.
I think the most realistically, he's staying with the Nets.
Do you think that's tenable, though?
Yeah, I think if he does stay with the Nets, I don't think it's tenable. And I think it's possible that this thing blows up in a year's time anyway, which means we'll be basically funding another team, which is the Houston Rockets, who owns like the next six draft picks for the Brooklyn Nets for the next 6 years. We're just going to be giving them all the talent. We're just going to be a huge talent pipeline, draft pick pipeline for the Houston Rockets for the next 5 years. I don't think it's escapable. Maybe we can do something in a year's time if, you know, Ben Simmons doesn't work out, or Kevin Durant wants to leave, or Kyrie Irving is fed up, because maybe he opts in, which is a 1 year deal. He has one more year on his deal if he opts in. And he just plays it out. He's like, okay, look, there was no possible trade destinations. My trade list, I wasn't really paying attention to the list of teams that I wrote up. You called my bluff. Okay, fine. I'm not going to go to the Lakers for $6 million, obviously. I'll opt in. I'll take the $36 million and I'll play out the year. But who knows what kind of Kyrie you're going to get if he opts in, or even if you give him a 2+1 or 3+1, like you really have no idea what type of version of the superstar he is, of what type, if he even plays, basically. And if it really becomes so bad that it forces Kevin Durant to want to like flee Kyrie Irving, like go as far away as possible, go to West, or just try to get as far away from Kyrie as possible. you know, I wouldn't blame him. Like, if they do play again this year and they stick together, I feel like unless they win a championship, it's wasted like 3 years of Kevin Durant's prime. This is like 3 years where Kevin Durant might probably would have dominated, where the Warriors would have won like the fifth championship kind of thing, like in 6 years.
And this year we saw a slightly different type of Kevin Durant who was really shut down by the Celtics, which is not to say that Kevin Durant can't be and isn't one of the top three players, top two players even in the league. Yeah. But we see how what this means when, you know, he has to play 40 minutes for the last 6 weeks of the season. And then going against all-time defense with the Celtics, we're just loading on him. And after game one, Kyrie had a fantastic game one, like phenomenal all-time game one. And if they won, maybe, you know, the narrative changes. But then for the rest of the series, I mean, he wasn't that good, right? And you can't tell me part of that isn't because he wasn't engaged in that whole season, and part of it was the fact that he was fasting and all these other, whatever the reason is, there's always some other reason, but the point being that this was wasting Kevin Durant's talent. And we see now that Kevin Durant, like even LeBron James now, they're not, it's not 26-year-old 28-year-old Kevin Durant. This is a much older Kevin Durant, and he needs more from his buddy or the second option, and I don't think this is sustainable. I think he knows that this is probably not sustainable going forward. But in terms of real destinations, you said the Nets potentially would offer him a shorter contract. I don't even see that happening anymore. I think this is...
Oh, you think it's over? I think it's over. You really think he's likely to leave?
Let me put it this way. I think the Nets would definitely want to keep Kyrie if they can put in the contract that, look, if you don't play, I don't know, 50 games, or let's say if you don't play 65 games, that's... Outside of injury, obviously, if you're injured, you can't play. Outside of injury, if you don't play like 80% of the game or 85% of the game, then you don't get money. There's like a punitive, you have to give up half your salary, right? It's not even about taking personal day and then we just like dock you for that day. It's more, it's like triple that then. And there's got to be things like, this is what you need to do. These are, we need you to be there. We need you to be in the workouts, right? We need you to respect Steve. Is it awkward talking about Steve Nash when he's in the corner right now in the room? Steve.
Don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. Just pretend he's wallpaper.
Take the tea towel and plug your ears with it. We're talking about you.
Hey, Steve, do this with your hands to your ears, please.
Cup your hands or your ears.
Cover them. Cover your hands for a second. Look, he's an idiot. Listen, guys, he's been running practices, but he's been running it all wrong. I've been redoing practices because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Look, I feel like I'm playing the Josiah part now. Okay, but Josiah is saying, Kyrie, we need you to respect the coach. Not necessarily because we need you to do the drills, but you need to set an example for the other players on this team that you're fully invested and that you care about the practice and building the culture. And, you know, it's really hard to build a culture when you're in and out of the lineup or of the with the organization. And plus, we need you to get a vaccine if it's required. If it's not required, fine. You don't need to get it. We prefer if you get it. You don't need to. But if it becomes mandatory again, in your contract it says you need to get the vaccine, or you get no money if you don't get it. Because we can't go through that again.
Well, he's definitely not signing it then.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying because of the Nets' demand, which I think are reasonable given what they've been through. This is why Kyrie won't agree to that. In fact, Kyrie will probably make a point of not doing that and would rather give up $30 million and win a championship with the Lakers by joining the team on mid-level exception than to take $30 million. That's how much pride Kyrie Irving has. Rightly or wrongly.
Yeah, it's possible. What I don't understand is why he can't just sign in, opt into his contract, and then just trade to the Lakers, like for AD. Why can't we just trade AD for Kyrie Irving? The contracts would match.
Isn't it Kyrie that decides whether to opt in or out?
Yeah. It's his player option.
Yeah, so Kyrie's not going to do that because he's not going to...
No, but if he wants to go, he wants to opt in because he wants the maximum contract. Any of those teams wouldn't be, except the Knicks, because they're trying to clear cap space right now. But except for the Knicks, none of the teams can give him a max deal right now.
But this is Kyrie we're talking about, right? So that's a good move for, an instance when both Kyrie wins and the Nets can win because they'll get something back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
But I'm saying if it comes to that point, I mean, this is Kyrie Irving, where he's looking for scorched earth, okay?
Sure. If he really wants to lose out on $30 million, then I guess he could just opt out completely. And yeah, but I don't see why LA. Like, he said his entire time while he was in Brooklyn that he chose Brooklyn, A, because the Nets was his childhood team, and B, because his family is in New Jersey and he wants to be closer to his family. So that's why Philadelphia is on the list. That's why, you know, the Knicks are on that list, even though they're not, you know, the Knicks aren't contenders, obviously. But he wants to stay in the East. I know the Clippers and the Lakers are there, but to me, like, this is just a random list of contenders. You know, like, as if Miami will trade for Kyrie Irving, as if there's mutual interest where Miami would give up Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler for Kyrie Irving. Like, it's not or Bam Adebayo.
You're saying it's a fake list.
It's just a fake list. It's just a list to make it seem.
We need to investigate
to create buzz around Kyrie Irving's like free agency. Basically,
you're saying the fake list. Someone might have helped him create that list. Let me ask you: was it alphabetical? Was because then I would have a clue.
Look, Kyrie, have you seen my tweets? Have you seen how I've written my tweets?
Are you saying Matt Johnson wrote the list for him?
Let me help you. A, Atlanta. B, Brooklyn. Wait, not Brooklyn. Scratch that. Boston.
It literally says Brooklyn, and then it's like scratched out.
Charlotte. You want to go to this list. D,
Detroit.
Delaware. Yeah, Detroit, yeah.
You said, why would he go to the West when he wants to stay with his family? I think the answer is that he can. It's not necessarily just about his family. I think at this point, he has a vendetta against the Nets. So he's going to go to a situation where he can prove himself and win. And normally I would say, why wouldn't he go to LA? He's not looking to be LeBron's second fiddle again, right? But I think in this instance, the Lakers can play up the whole Kobe angle, and I think that is to his advantage. And I think LeBron, I told you this offline, I think LeBron would be actually okay with that. Let Kyrie be the next Black Mamba, because in my mind, and I think in LeBron's mind, he's above the Black Mamba. He's better than the Black Mamba. He's the GOAT. So then let Kyrie be the Black Mamba.
Whoa.
The legacy to Black Mamba. Mm. And that's not something that LeBron needs to chase. And I think that's
fair enough.
Like, I even feel excited about that, despite what I feel about Kyrie. Well,
I think they would be favorite. They would have the best odds to win the championship if Kyrie did join AD and LeBron. But let's not forget, like, LeBron is only there for one more year. This huge risk where you're basically pairing Kyrie and AD, which is a great pairing, and they'll probably work out well if Kyrie stays committed, which is obviously no sure thing. But LeBron has said for ages that he's signing. He's going to go to the team that drafts Bronny, his son. And that's in 2 years' time. So does he? Yes, he could potentially sign another one-year deal. But he's already said that he's not in it for the money. So he could really, like, in that 1 year between his end of his contract and the year before Bronny joins, I think there's a one-year gap. He could join the Warriors for a minimum, honestly, and just chase a championship if he really wanted to.
But this is already aligning perfectly, because Kyrie will be there on mid-level exception. He would have no long-term contract. So this is just a one-year, let's see what we do type of thing. I mean, the Lakers aren't going to sign Kyrie to, like...
But they could lose everything. They could lose Kyrie. They could lose LeBron. They would be back to, they only have AD. They have no draft picks. Well, they have no draft picks as well.
They didn't give back anything for Kyrie. And that's why your scenario of thinking that the Nets can land Anthony Davis is unrealistic, because of the scenario you just talked about. Mm. Then they have nothing, right? Mm. In this instance, yes, they can lose LeBron. They can lose Kyrie. But then they can then trade Anthony Davis still and just reset, basically, and go into obscurity.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, that's true. With no draft picks, with another talent pipeline to New Orleans.
I know it hurts you when to think about some of these scenarios, okay? And that's why I'm here. I got to be strong for both of us.
It's painful conversation.
Kyrie will be highly motivated in LA for multiple reasons. One, again, like I said, the vendetta against the Nets. Secondly, though, he's also going to be playing for the next contract then. So if you don't have more motivation than that, then Kyrie's probably going to retire in 2 years or next year, right? So I think all things align for the Lakers in this instance for Kyrie to go there. And I got to tell you, I would love that storyline. I would love that. Everything works out. And yeah. I would love Kyrie to be in LA.
I think if he doesn't sign with the Nets, I think LA is probably the most likely scenario just because of the narrative. Just that's because of what everyone wants. But, you know, like to me, like this is why I'm a bit ambivalent towards it. Obviously, I want Kyrie to stay. But the other side of the story is how does this impact KD's future with the team? Does if Kyrie, who's KD's best, you know, what he said, his best friend in the basketball, leaves him, betrays him, does this kind of motivate KD to push him? Like, everyone's been saying, oh, you joined the Warriors. Like, you haven't won a championship as a bus driver. Now your best friend has left you. How much does this motivate? Still in prime if he's healthy. If he's fully healthy, of course. How does this motivate the best player or top two, three player in the world? And there's still a pretty good team with Ben Simmons. This is huge ifs, but if Ben Simmons' back and mental health heals up well, he's a legit elite all-star player, level player. They got shooters in Seth Curry, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant. I don't know if Andre Drummond re-signs or, you know, those are question marks. But this team's not bad. Like, this team's pretty good. There's not the same ceiling as with Kyrie Irving when he's at fully committed levels. But like, I don't really see this as like a huge weakness, losing a guy that right now is a pest in the locker room, to put it lightly. If Kevin Durant is assumed the full-time leader of this team and everything goes around him, it's not Kyrie. That Kyrie like is orbiting like a moon. He has like some gravitational pull, but if you get rid of that moon, it's just a sun. Just a single star that's burning brightly in Kevin Durant. Everyone's just revolving around that single star. It might help this team even more. Like I said last week, sometimes it's about subtractions to a team. You can't just keep adding extra players. Like James, you had Kyrie Irving, you got James Harden, you had, I don't know, like, you know, all these other players. It's not always about that. Sometimes you need to, you know, pare it back and reestablish what that culture is all about, because they had that culture before with Kenny Atkinson. And that went away when they signed Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Now, who knows what's going to happen? That's why I'm not going to make any bold predictions like, oh, Kyrie's gone or Kyrie's going to stay. Like, I have no idea. No one has any idea what he's thinking. And if he leaves, this is a possible scenario where the Nets are saying to themselves, like, look, he's gone, but let's put all our effort into preserving KD's future with this team. He is everything to us. The only reason we're even attempting to keep Kyrie, even though he's embarrassed us hundreds of times, is because we don't want KD to leave. Or we need to see KD. We need to convince KD that what Kyrie is doing is bad to his brand and he needs to stay in Brooklyn to preserve like his legacy, basically. Because, he could get... Yeah, don't get it twisted. Like, maybe Kevin Durant knows like what Kyrie's doing is personal. He's not doing anything to hurt KD's legacy. But... You never know like this kind of effect that it has on him, because KD came to Brooklyn because of Kyrie. KD has constantly backed up Kyrie's actions, regardless of how hurtful it was to his team's success. It's always been KD defending his best friend Kyrie. So is he going to continue defending him? Is he going to leave because of Kyrie is leaving? Like, it's always Kyrie going. Is KD going to follow Kyrie to LA if like? You know, he gets traded, like, okay, I'm gonna go to LA too then. Fuck it. I'm like, give me a trade. I'll trade KD for I don't even know who's on LA's team. Malik Monk, Russell Westbrook.
Lakers are trying to save money. You're like,
just give me all your shit players and I'm forcing a trade here. Like, you know, epic, the worst trade ever in the history of time. Who knows? Like, that this is all possible in the cards. Like, people are saying, like, oh, KD won't leave Brooklyn Nets just as Kyrie's leaving. But who knows? We really don't know what these guys are thinking.
We need to visualize. Let's go. Let's transport back into that boardroom in Brooklyn. Circle of power. Josiah, Kyrie Irving, Sean Marks. KD, please come into the room now. Steve Nash, we need you to leave. This is getting to the business end of the discussion. Nash, please close the door behind you. Thank you.
There'll be nothing. We don't need anything else from you, Steve Nash. You can go.
What does Josiah say to KD?
I don't think they'll be in the same... I don't think they'll be in the same room. I think they'll have side conversations. Look, we just spoke to Kyrie. We're trying to get a deal done with Kyrie. But I just want you to know that whatever happens, that we're 100% committed into creating the best team around you. We're not giving up. We're not trading you. We're full steam behind, helping you get a championship. So whatever we need to do, we've done already. We've traded all our future draft picks. We've done everything to build the perfect team around you as best as we could. It hasn't worked out, but, you know, give us another chance, basically. And whether that, you know, they've exhausted the number of chances, if KD is fed up with management, fed up with Sean Marks, doesn't trust them anymore, then that might be a reason, like, beyond Kyrie, that he wants to leave because he doesn't trust management to get him a team.
You're Josiah. I'm KD.
But of course, Josiah is going to do everything he can to.
And I'm KD, and I'm telling you, Joe, I respect you. Love what you do for the community. But I don't want to be here anymore.
What are you saying? Is this a scenario?
Yeah, this is a scenario.
This is the world ender. This is Josiah would just... He will give you the look like a disappointed parent and just be silent and he won't say anything. And the silence will just be eating up Kevin Durant inside.
So you just like, we just sit here in silence. Who speaks next? Joe? I know this is not the way we envisioned it. It's not the way I wanted it. But it is what it is. I don't feel like I can do this here.
This is sad. I'm sad.
I'm sad?
I'm sad. Me, Kane, I'm sad.
No, forget, you're not in the room. You're here.
Oh,
this isn't a boardroom. Circle of power. What does Josiah say? I'm KD. I told you. I can't do this anymore.
Why don't you give us the side free agency?
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying
give us a week.
Give you a week. Wait. Are you gonna take away my computer? What's gonna happen that week?
We're not gonna go public with this yet. We're not going to announce any trades just yet. We wanna impress upon you that we're still fully committed behind you. We do everything we can.
Okay, Joe, you're saying give you a week. Just tell me what that means, though. Is that give you a week so that you can send me to where I want to go? Or is that give you a week so that you can trade me to some random place that's good for the Nets but not good for me?
Well, we don't want to trade you.
You're saying give you a week
so we want
to make moves. That doesn't include me.
Yeah, to make circle moves.
Or surround. Okay.
No, of course not. Yeah. If by the week you don't like to, you're not liking the direction we're going in still, and you really want to, then we'll consider.
I want a bus, Joe. I want a bus, and I want to fill it with DeAndre Jordan, Michael Beasley, Kyrie's extended family from the Sioux tribe.
Yeah. You're a weird guy, Kevin. You're a weird guy.
And I want to fill it with all my high school buddies, okay? That's why I want. I drive. No chauffeurs. I'm driving it.
It's possible. I like to think that he's more chill and that he's not demanding anything like this, but yeah, who knows?
Well, he's right not now. In this scenario. That's what I'm saying. I'm being realistic. I'm role playing KD. I'm not demanding anything. I'm just saying that I can't do it anymore here.
Josiah might have to open his pocketbook because that's been his biggest problem so far. That he's spending a lot already, but he doesn't want to spend any more, kind of thing. And it's like at this point, just spend as
but
much
he can't
as you can
anymore,
like,
right?
If you really want, of course he can. He can sign Kyrie to a max extension. Who cares?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Who cares at the end of the day? We're saying like, oh, it's going to hurt the Nets long term. But what's going to hurt the Nets more long term? Is it giving Kyrie an extension or losing KD? Oh, but let's just say, even if Kyrie was gone, like, I mean, they could re-sign. I mean, these aren't best options, but, you know, they can re-sign Nick Claxton. They can re-sign Bruce Brown. They can resign the whole team from last time. Guys that would be on the open market for a lot more money. And the Nets is like, okay, fine. We'll give you the bigger deals here. And, you know, fuck Josiah's pocket, like, checkbook. Like, let's just like bleed him dry. And Kevin Durant, at the end of the day, he doesn't want to see, I mean, I don't even really care about Bruce Brown, but my point is, like, if you lose Bruce Brown, who's probably going to go on market for about 50 mil, 3 year 50, 340 mil, who are you going to replace him with? Who is this undrafted gem of a player that you're going to replace Bruce Brown with? You know, if Patty Mills leaves...
Well, you don't have a draft pick.
Who are you going to bring in to replace Patty Mills? They don't have draft. The draft draws happen.
See, this is the pickle that you find yourself in, because...
Yeah, like, you can't always find cheap options. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah... They found a cheap option in Bruce Brown. They found a cheap option in Joe Harris. And they've exceeded
Blake Griffin,
their cheap option.
Millsap.
Well, Blake Griffin's washed. Well, they're veteran players.
Veteran players were willing to take a discount.
Those guys came in as young.
Are willing to take a discount to play with you when they think you've got James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so it's going to be different. It's going to be different. Patty Mills might opt out and go elsewhere.
You know, you saying give you a week, this is tricky now. This is tricky.
But those are veteran deals. Like, you can sign all the veterans that can take on that money. But a Bruce Brown, if you're lowballing Bruce Brown,
if you're a veteran, why wouldn't you want to go to the Warriors? Why would you want to go to this shit show that's Brooklyn?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if you're veterans, you can. Well, not well because they can only take on 15 players. You can sign other veterans that can help you win.
Well, the good ones will be going to the teams where they can win, right? Not to Brooklyn. This is what I'm saying. When you had KD and Kyrie, when that situation was going well, you're getting all these freebie veterans. You got Blake Griffin saying, "Cool, I'll take like $1 million to play this team." Well, Detroit pays me like $30 million. Yeah.
Well, like, my point is they can sign their own free agents. Like, Andre Drummond is part of their free agency, like part of the free agency that they can go above the cap to re-sign. There hasn't been a much inclination for them to re-sign Andre Drummond or Bruce Brown or Patty Mills because it would take them way into luxury tax. They're already the second highest apart from the Warriors. They are the highest apart from the Warriors. But they don't want to pay more than that because they're not winning much and Josiah doesn't want to open his pocketbook. But... why not? Like, who cares? Like, why do we care how much Josiah is spending on this team? He's a billionaire.
Well, Kevin says this then. Joe, I know it's a tough situation. And I'm asking you to spend a lot to re-sign Patty Mills, Bruce Brown, Andre Drummond. Are you listening to me? I can't believe I'm hearing myself like this. These names are not going to take me over the top, Joe. Because... I need a Kyrie. That's the type of star I need.
Okay. Look, if I'm Josiah, I'm saying, fuck it. I'll sign with Kyrie then. I'll give him a 4-year max then.
Okay, so you're saying if KD presents it that way, then Josiah is going to say, fuck it.
Well, what choice? Yeah, I mean, what choice?
Okay, Josiah, I play Josiah. You're KD, I play Josiah.
Okay.
Kevin.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what, dog?
Can I speak to you in Cantonese?
That's that's the only language I speak, yo.
Oh, okay. Kevin, you seem to have this situation twisted. Okay? Get Steve Nash back in the room! Because I'm running the show now! All right, come in, Steve. Take a seat. Take a seat at the daddy table. Steve Nash is at the table now. Kevin, you seem to get this situation twisted. Last summer, we just signed you to a new contract. You have 4 more years left with us. We're not trading you to nobody. I think the proper grammar is anybody, but he's getting urban now with Kevin, is what I'm saying.
Jesus.
You're staying right here. And the decision is really clear and very simple for you, Kevin. You either play for us, and we do our best. We do our absolute best to surround you with talent, and I will spend money and go over the luxury tax, as I have been. But you're going to play with us, or you are not going to play. We will bench you, or we will fine you. Oof. For not playing. Oof. And then we will waste you. We will waste the next 4 years of your career. And guess what? What happens after 4 years? You will be owed and you will be signing a minimum contract with Golden State Warriors to chase for a ring. So the decision path is very clear for you, Kevin. Help us make you great and take us to the promised land and cement your legacy as the bus driver. Or retire, essentially, for all practical purposes. And we won't be talking about Kevin Durant for the next 4 years or any time after that. And the only thing written about you will be what could have been. And by the way, in those articles...
Ice cold.
In those articles, there's going to be plenty of Kyrie Irving talk and verbiage. That's what you want? Here's the contract. Josiah takes out a contract.
What contract? He puts,
wait.
Why another contract?
Oh, sorry.
I'm right. Yeah.
Oh, you already signed. Sorry. I got confused.
Yeah.
I got confused. It's a time difference. Okay. What do you say, Katie? You're Katie. What do you say?
That's a pretty compelling argument. I would love to tell you to fuck yourself, but look. I'm a Nets fan. I love this organization. I love playing for Steve Nash.
This is you or Katie?
Yeah, it's Katie. And I want to convince my buddy to stay. I want to do what I can now. I'm going to start campaigning for Kyrie Irving to stay. And I want to win a championship for the city of Brooklyn. For the fans in Australia as well, especially in Sydney, Australia specifically. I'm going to do it for those guys.
It's in the Australia.
And look, I know this is going to hurt your pocketbook, so I'm willing to give up half my salary to help you reduce your luxury tax.
At this point, Steve Nash interjects and go, Katie, I really appreciate you bringing up my name. By the way, Joe, love the table. High quality wood. Love it.
Can I give you a hug now? Can I give you a hug? I haven't hugged you all season.
I would say that Katie would probably say, I'm going to play both Josiah and Katie. Katie will probably respond as, Joe, you've got me in a corner. I don't like this, and I might hate you for it, but I don't have a choice. So I'm just going to take this day by day. And then Josiah will tell Katie, this has been a terrible meeting. This has been a trying time for everyone. I know that you don't trust us. You hate us. So let us prove you wrong. Because I'm still here to win. This franchise is about winning. Steve Nash will be here. Sean Marks is still here. We might even bring back Kenny Atkinson, help the young guys develop. But we're here to win. And time will tell us, history will be the judge of who's right and who's wrong, who's the bad guy, who's the right, who's the good guy. It's not for us to decide. It's by our actions. Thank you.
Jump cut to next week. Kevin Durant's trade to OKC for 5 draft picks.
Okay. Okay. We've been talking all episode about the Nets. I think we might just quickly go through the draft picks.
I kind of thought you wanted to do this because we weren't allowed to talk about the Nets. Oh, I didn't allow you to talk about the Nets all playoffs when you were just busting to. I thought this would be a big release for you to finally get all your Nets drama out. And like, this is like validated because it's like national media news. Kyrie wanting to leave and is like expected to leave the Nets for like the Lakers, for example, you know, the Clippers. Like, I thought this was like a huge coming out party, a huge I told you so motherfucker party, like, for you. But, you know, I commend you. I commend you for being respectable.
The thing is, I'm on knife's edge just like you because I'm waiting to see what actually happens with Kyrie. Like, I'm actually not reading into all the drama because there's just too much. And I'm waiting to see what actually happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, he has to opt in, which doesn't mean much, but I think his deadline is like June 29th. So that's like in a couple of days, basically.
Let's switch gears and talk about the NBA draft. There's really nothing to talk about. I don't care about any of the top draft picks. Every year we get so excited about these young stars. Most of them don't turn out.
Yeah, but then it's like, we see a guy like Scotty Barnes, and Scotty Barnes is like this raw, untapped potential player that gets drafted fourth by the Raptors. And you don't have to tell me much. Like, if the Raptors by Masai, like, draft with the drafting guru Masai Ujiri at the helm of a top 5 pick, like, I want to see who Masai Ujiri wants to draft. We heard all the stories, like, Masai Ujiri wanted Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was, like, trying to trade up to get Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let's see what he does with a top 5, like, a legit top 5 pick with a pretty good draft. And they hit it out of the park. They got the rookie via Scottie Barnes. And Scottie Barnes is, like, to me, by far the best player. Like, I think...
Rookie of the year,
but like, I just saw this guy, like, he was guarding like the best offensive player on the other team. Like, him as a rookie was guarding the other team's best player most nights. It wasn't Pascal Siakam, the all-star. It wasn't OG, the defensive. It was Scottie Barnes, this rookie, that was doing it most nights. And they had like a, you know, obviously one of the best defenses in the league last year. Scottie Barnes is a big part of it. And this year, I see the kind of opposite. I am seeing the same teams like the Magic, the Thunder, the Rockets, the Kings, the first, and the Pistons, the fifth overall pick. These guys constantly in the lottery, constantly in the top 5, and constantly not getting their prospects to turn the corner and become superstars. Like, when's the last Magic that was drafted that became all-star, the Thunder or a Rocket?
0.0, none of them.
I can't imagine. Like, probably in the early Magic. Oh yeah, let's think. What's the last All Star the Magic drafted? Shaquille.
Shaquille, 1992. That's the last time.
Yeah. When's the last Thunder?
Probably not. No one.
Probably James. Probably James Harden, right?
Was he drafted by the Thunder?
Yeah, of course. He was drafted.
They clearly didn't rate him because they traded him for $4 million.
Well, they nailed. Yeah, well, they nailed like 3 drafts in a row. They drafted like Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
They didn't draft Kevin Durant, did they? The Sonics did.
The Thunder.
The Sonics.
But the same franchise. The same franchise.
Wait. So they just moved the entire front office from
They just moved.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I guess.
Yeah. Well, they're the same team, the same ownership.
Anyway. Right. Right. I guess I was dumb. I didn't understand what happened there.
Yeah, and the Rockets. I can't remember the last time Rockets have drafted an All-Star.
Yao Ming. And I'm serious. Yeah,
it's probably Yao Ming.
Yao Ming.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yao Ming in like 2001. So my point is like...
It's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's like 20 years ago. So like my point is all these teams haven't had a proven track record of turning the top 5 picks, guys with the best potential in the draft, to turn the corner and become an All-Star. The last time we had it was, I guess, Scottie Barnes, who seems like he's going to be an All-Star. Like, he has that potential to be an All-Star next year. Or look what LaMelo did in Charlotte. You know, like, how come Charlotte can do it, but who was drafted before Charlotte.
Pascal Siakam was drafted 27th.
You know what I mean? I mean, so many examples. Pascal Siakam was drafted late. Kawhi Leonard was drafted to the Spurs. It's sad when these teams keep drafting in top five and never turning these guys into talented players. So I don't have too much hopes for them. I think the best chance is the OKC Thunder, because they do have like a solid foundation around the number two overall pick, like Chet Holmgren. I don't know much about him, but he's like this tall, lanky guy that can shoot, kind of like light Kevin Durant. That's what I've heard. But he's very skinny. He's like 195 pounds, but he's like 7 foot tall.
So. But even with OKC, like, what's the point? Like, the player that's good there, like Shea Alexander, like, he doesn't even play. They don't even let him play.
He's injured a lot. And
well,
then,
is he actually injured, though? Like, they just don't play him.
They don't play him because they want to get a higher draft. Yeah, they're, like, tanking to get a higher draft
pick. Yeah, so in which case, like, if you're a young star, like, what's your years are being wasted. What kind of development's happening? If all the team cares about is getting draft picks and collecting picks.
Yeah, but look at the Sixers model. That's what they're hoping. They're hoping that they keep tanking enough where they can eventually get superstar.
Where's Marvin Bagley? Is he still in the league? He's number two pick.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley is with the Pistons now.
De'Aaron Fox, is he still on the Sacramento Kings? He was fifth pick.
Yeah, he's on the Kings, yeah.
Marquise Chris, is he in the NBA? He was eighth pick.
I think so. I haven't seen him around recently. He probably is on some.
Willie Cauley-Stein, is he in the league? He's the sixth pick.
I think he was lost with the Mavs. I can't remember. Yeah.
Nick Stauskas, he's the eighth pick.
Yeah. He was the Celtics. last season on the bench. I saw him. I'm like, is that Nick Stauskas?
Yeah, I know. I was like, fuck, how's he in the league? Ben McLemore, he's a seventh pick.
Oh, that was big. That was a big one.
Big star. Thomas Robinson.
I think he got drafted in front of CJ.
Thomas Robinson, he's a fifth pick.
Oh, got drafted before Dame. One pick, he got drafted fifth, and then Dame was the next pick.
Oh, well, at least they hit the mark with Bismack Biyombo with the seventh pick. Good job, Valley D-backs.
But it's a different front office now.
Tyreke Evans, the fourth pick.
Who also was in that draft? I mean, he did win
Rookie of the Year, but then he like fell off the map. I think he had some PED issue.
I can't remember who else. I wonder who else was in that draft. Obviously,
Brandon Jennings was in that draft.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the last time the Kings drafted someone well is 2010, when they picked DeMarcus Cousins with a number five pick.
Was he an all-star?
He was an all-star.
He was an all-star in Sacramento? Oh, okay.
It must have been on Sacramento when he was all-star. Yeah, he was all-star. So the only two all-star they've had was... in recent years, is DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. But Isaiah Thomas is just lucky. He was picked with the 60th pick.
He was an All-Star? No, he was an All-Star with the Kings.
Not with the Kings. Sorry.
Yeah. He was only with the Celtics.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But you're saying the last All-Star that the Kings drafted was
Isaiah
Thomas.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. But not with the Kings. He wasn't with the Kings when he became an All-Star. He was with the Celtics.
I just rattled like a list of like 10... like top five, top picks, and none of them like turned out.
This is not just
them not turning out. This is like them getting drafted in front of like CJ, in front of Dame, and Doncic, Luka,
Trae Young, yeah.
And this is just the Kings. Like I don't even want to get into like the Timberwolves when they like drafted.
Like if they even hit on Timberwolves drafted Cat, so like that's what I'm saying. Like. The Timberwolves wasted so many picks where they, missed out on Steph and Clay and, whatever, and Draymond if you want.
In that draft, they drafted two point guards before Steph.
Yeah.
Good job.
But they eventually drafted Kat and Anthony Edwards. And now it's all good. Like, they're on an upward trajectory. You know what I mean? But the Kings, like, if they even drafted Dame or CJ or Luka, they will be set. They'll have a great team. But they keep missing every single time they have a top five pick. And that's why they continue to draft in the top five. Look at the Magic. You want to read the Magic's all-star, like, you want to read the Magic's draft pick record?
Be respectful, because I think, like, we have a Magic fan.
Oh, yeah. All right, true. Yeah, Magic. Okay, sorry. Look, I like the Magic, but I think this is why, okay, this, when I was watching the draft, this is why they drafted this kid named Paolo Banchero from Duke. Because he's a polished offensive player. He has a, like, he's ready-made. His body is ready-made for the NBA. He's ready to, like, produce. He's a good leader for the team. They don't need to continually draft projects like Jonathan Isaac or Mo Bamba or Jalen, I don't know who Jalen Suggs is, really. He was drafted fifth overall pick last.
Can I just interrupt you? I just interrupt you for a second? Yeah. When I said that Sacramento, good job for drafting Bismarck Biyombo of the seventh pick, Klay Thompson was the 11th pick that year. Kemba Walker, the 9th pick.
I saw you being sarcastic.
I know, I'm being sarcastic, of course. Biyombo is like garbage. Kawhi Leonard, I don't blame them for that, not taking Kawhi Leonard. But
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Klay,
yeah,
Thompson, Klay Thompson, come on. Sure. Klay Thompson, please. Okay,
yeah. Go
ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, the Magic has continually tried to take on development players with high upside, but this time they're not taking the high upside player. They're not taking Chet Holmgren, who is the highest upside. They're taking the guy who's ready-made to play well for the team as a rookie. And who knows? It's probably going to blow up in the face. Paolo might become the next, I don't know, whatever, Thomas Robinson. And Chet Holmgren might become the next, I don't know, Kristaps Porzingis, New York Knicks days.
Sean Bradley.
But Sean Bradley. But, like, you never know with these picks. And it really does depend on the development program. Like, the Magic also have Markel Fultz right now, former number one overall pick. And is he gotten any better since he got to the Magic? Like, Philadelphia was meant to be this toxic environment where you couldn't, like, he got so bad and so poisoned by the city that he needed a fresh restart. And how's Orlando been the spring of... How's Orlando helped him, like, recover?
Yeah. And by the way, the great brain trust of Philadelphia traded a pick to move up to pick Fultz. They traded basically Jason Tatum and another pick to get Markelle Fultz.
To get Markelle Fultz. Yeah.
All right, Kane. Do you have any final words for Nets Nation?
Nah. Let's just see how it plays out. I think, in general, everyone's fatigued by this news. Not just Nets fans, just in general. Everyone wants to see what happens. And look, I hope everyone ends up in the happy place. I don't want anyone going into suicidal mode over this.
It's just a game. I agree. Listen to Kane. Thank you.
Except I don't believe that. I'm definitely offing myself if Kyrie leaves.
Wait. You need to... Okay, talk to me before that happens, okay? That's a joke. Actually, I'm going to cut this part out. That's disgusting.
That's disgusting. All right.
We have fun on this show, okay? We don't want... Look, it's not... Okay, I've got nothing to say. It's a pretty dire situation.
All right.
Until next time, please listen to Kane. Stay positive, even though that's not a particularly positive message. Thank you.
Goodbye. Forever. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Your MBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your MBA Podcast.